Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. It is Christmas time again. Who can believe that Christmas is here already? Okay? It seems to me like it was only yesterday, it was Christmas 2023, and it's hard to believe that another year has already come and gone, and Christmas is upon us once more. And you know, as I've been, you know, preparing, going shopping, doing all the last-minute Christmas shopping and all that, I've noticed some of the large and extravagant nativity Christmas displays that you see in the Westfields and all the shopping centres around us. You know, I think there's one, yes, there's one there, you know. All these lovely, expensive, elaborate Christmas displays and nativity scenes that have been set up in shopping centres all over the city to commemorate, to remember Jesus this time at Christmas. Here's one example just here, this lovely, lovely, golden, beautiful, glamorous display of the nativity scene and the very first Christmas. And it's so beautiful and lovely, isn't it? Okay, I saw one at One Westfield that was so stunning, I just could not get over how beautiful and gigantic it was. But it all sort of made me realise too, I think we've really lost and we've really forgotten what the nativity story is really about, haven't we? Because with Christmas upon us, let's stop for a minute and think about how well we really know this story. See, to begin with, when we actually look at the story of Jesus' birth, we don't see a glamorous or even a beautiful picture at all. In fact, what we actually see when we look at the story of Jesus' birth is actually quite the opposite. What we really see in the nativity story is a rather sad account of two people. One, a teenage unwed mother, the other, her poor, troubled father, travelling hundreds of miles on a donkey to a foreign town and then having to give birth to a child in the most wretched of circumstances. So that is Mary in her heavily pregnant state was forced to travel all the way to Bethlehem on a donkey, a journey that I'm sure all the pregnant mothers in this church can attest would be just unimaginable. Yet she was forced to make that journey, and to make matters even worse, upon reaching the town, they were not able to find accommodation, and they were forced in the end to take shelter in a dirty animal stable. And then to top it all off at this, the worst possible time imaginable, it came time for the child to be born. Can you imagine that? As if they have not already endured a lot, into this terrible situation, Mary was now forced to give birth in this dirty animal stable. See, we've glamorized it today, but what we forget is that there was really nothing glamorous about the first Christmas. In fact, what we're really seeing here is something a lot like a scene out of this movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, coming up in a moment. See, there's a scene in this movie, I don't know if anyone remembers this film from a few years ago with Will Smith, but there's a scene in the film where Will Smith and his young son are evicted from their home. And then to make matters even worse, one night they are turned away even from a homeless shelter. And so in the end, in their desperation, with nowhere else to go, they are forced to spend the night, a father and his young son sleeping on the floor of a dirty public toilet. It's a very sad and shocking scene. I still remember it today. But see, what we seem to forget is that that's what we're actually seeing in the nativity story. What we're actually seeing at the first Christmas is something very similar to this. Okay, Mary and Joseph are in effect, homeless. They're destitute. They were turned away from anywhere they could stay and they were forced to squat in a place not fit for human habitation. And then to make matters even worse, unbelievably at this time, the time came for Mary to have to give birth as well. Can you imagine that? All right? Can you imagine being forced to give birth into a situation something like this? And you know what's the most astonishing thing about this is that this wasn't just any child that was born. This was, of course, the Lord Jesus, the King of the universe, who was born into this situation that night. It's not exactly what you would expect, is it? It's not how we would expect the promised King, the long-awaited Messiah, to be born. We would expect glitz and glamour, the best of circumstances. We would expect the whole world watching on, eagerly anticipating this. Okay, a little bit like, for example, when Prince William and Princess Kate's child was born a few years ago. The future king at that point, with the whole world watching on and the best of circumstances arranged. However, you would not expect the true King of the universe to come into this world born into poverty and squalor like this. And you might well ask, why would God do it this way? Okay, why would God choose to bring his son into the world this way, into such humble circumstances, into shame and poverty and squalor? We, according to the way we think, our conclusion would likely be how sad, how pathetic, how unworthy of Israel's Messiah, the King of the Jews. Yet God felt that this was absolutely appropriate for how his son was supposed to be born. So we have to ask, why would God do it this way? And well, the reason that Jesus came into the world in such humble circumstances was because God's Son came not to seek worldly honor or glory as the rest of the world does. Rather, Jesus came into the world to shun all worldly honor and glory and praise, and instead to humble himself to come amongst us as the very lowliest of people, and to give up all earthly glory instead to serve. Jesus, God's King, came to shun all earthly power and glory, and instead he came to be great only through humility, self-sacrifice, and service for others. That's the way he wanted to come into this world. See, Jesus' shabby and inauspicious birth was actually very great and glorious in God's eyes because it pointed to the type of life that he was going to live. A life lived in humility and servitude, not praised by the world, but as Jesus did, considering himself nothing and taking on the form of a man. And not just a man, but a tiny, helpless baby. And why was it that Jesus did this? Well, the reason God's King entered the world this way was because all that happened at his birth, was pointing towards what Jesus ultimately came to do. See, Jesus' ultimate purpose for coming to earth, his ultimate achievement as King and his crowning glory, would actually be his naked, shameful, humiliating, and torturous death on a cross. Jesus' ultimate achievement as King for his people would be to lay down his life for them. His purpose for which he came to the world was to give up his life, to sacrifice his life for others. And Jesus' ultimate glory, his crowning achievement as King, was to be tortured, humiliated, ashamed, gasping for breath, and murdered on a cross. This was Jesus' throne. This was his crown as King for which he came to the earth to be glorified. So this Christmas season, take a closer look at the nativity season once again. Remove your rose-colored glasses. Smell the foul air. See the cold, shivering animals. They represent the Old Testament sacrificial system. They are emblems of death, but they are mere shadows of the babe in their midst. Jesus was born to die. Born to die so that all who believe in him might live. So the question is then, how are we to respond to this? See, let's again take a closer look at this story and see the different ways that the people in the story responded. See, our response will undoubtedly be like that of either the Magi or Herod or Jerusalem. And how we respond has eternal implications. See, to begin with, and I think there's a slide coming up in a second, so next one, sorry. To begin with, the eagerness of the Magi to find the King of the Jews. The eagerness of the Magi to find the King of the Jews is amazing to me. While Herod and all Jerusalem are troubled by the news of the birth of the King, the Magi eagerly seek him, rejoicing greatly at the return of the star. They fall in worship of the Lord Jesus, a tiny baby, remember, and they give him expensive gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The worship of the infant Jesus is all the more amazing in light of the factors. Why, if the child was a king, was he surrounded by the trappings of poverty? Swaddling clothes, a borrowed house, parents whose appearance clearly would have betrayed their humble means. Yet in spite of all these things, the Magi fell in worship and gave him expensive gifts. And so we have to ask at this point, will we respond like them this Christmas time? See, the Magi were not even of the people of God, yet they recognized, they bowed down, and they worshipped this little child, giving him all the glory that he deserves. We too must ask, are we giving Jesus all the glory at Christmas time? Are we really bowing down and worshipping him? Are we giving him all our attention at Christmas? Because that's what Christmas is about, all right? Christmas is not about food, it's not about presents, it's not even about family. Christmas is actually about doing exactly what the Magi did, giving glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because this child that was born would save us from our sin. See, Christmas is a wonderful time of year, isn't it? Because people everywhere are talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. Yet many people don't realize that this child that was born can actually save them from their sin. And this brings me to my second response, to the second response. Will you respond like the people of Jerusalem at Christmas time? As it says in verses 2-5, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem and said, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews? When Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I wonder, have you ever noticed that? That it wasn't just Herod, but all of Jerusalem who was troubled by the coming of this king. Jerusalem, that great city, the heart of God's nation, the city to whom Jesus was actually coming, it actually says they were troubled by his birth. They were perturbed. They were unhappy. They were uneasy. Herod was uneasy, and so it seems was the whole city. And I find myself struck by an even more intense feeling of wonder at this response, or should I say lack of response, of the entire city of Jerusalem. The Magi diligently searched for the infant king, coming from a distant land to present gifts and worship him. Is it any wonder that they are called wise men? But the vast majority of those who live in Jerusalem were not even willing to travel the 5 short miles south of Jerusalem to Bethlehem to see where they could have found their promised Messiah. And believe me, I've actually walked it. It's not even 5 miles. It's honestly little more than about half an hour's walk down the road. Yet it seemed like nobody could be bothered to make that very short journey to see this child that had been born in Bethlehem. So is Christmas for you about Jesus, or like the people of Jerusalem, is it just about you? Will we eagerly seek out Jesus and praise him for what he's done, or are you just interested in your own peace and comfort and happiness? Jesus' birth should remind us that this Christmas, that on the first Christmas, he came with nothing, in poverty, squalor, to die for others, to give up his life as a sacrifice for many. The people in Jerusalem had no time for this, and for many in the world today, neither do they. So let me ask you, are you like the people of Jerusalem? May I ask you honestly, as we approach another Christmas celebration, which response more accurately reflects your response to the coming of the Lord Jesus? I doubt there are any Herods around, for they would probably be trying to burn the church building down right now. But is it possible that we have become so preoccupied with our holiday celebration that we have failed to do what is most important of all, to seek Jesus and to worship him? Let us learn from the apathy of the city of Jerusalem. And the second lesson, the final lesson that we can learn from our text, is to gain a proper perspective on prophecy. And what I mean by that is this. Look at the response of the Magi compared to the Jews. The Magi only had a partial prophecy about Jesus based on the sign they saw in the sky, yet they were eagerly expecting his coming, so much so that they traveled thousands of miles from a foreign country to actually seek him out. The Jews had the full prophecies of Old Testament scripture, yet they were utterly unprepared for his coming. Should this not serve as a warning to us that we may know a great deal about the particulars of Christ's coming at Christmas, but are we actually really prepared for his coming too? And what I mean by that is that this is still relevant to us today, because Jesus Christ is still coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. He will be returning a second time, and he expects all of us to be prepared and all of us to be ready for that, to be eagerly anticipating that and prepared for his second return. We are still awaiting Jesus to come to the earth. And will we recognize the person of Christ when he comes? Like the Magi, will you know him and find him and be prepared for his second coming? Knowing all the details about Christmas is no guarantee that you are actually going to be prepared for him when he does return. See, I believe that those who worshipped our Lord at his birth were those whose hearts were prepared for his coming. Does this not describe the hearts of those who saw God in the manger and who fell down in worship? And does this not describe the state of heart and mind that we should have as we wait for the Lord's second coming? Should we be eagerly awaiting and expecting his arrival? Isn't that what we should be doing? Let this be our spirit at Christmas time as well. And just finally, let me ask you one more question. This Christmas, what are you finding your joy in? Honestly, I ask this of myself as well. Are you finding your joy at Christmas in fun, in family, in celebration, you know, and excitement? Or are you actually finding your joy in Jesus? He is the reason for the season. He is the reason that we have cause to celebrate, because it is because of Jesus alone that we have hope, the forgiveness of sins. So let us remember that this Christmas time. Let me pray quickly. Dear Lord, we thank you that you have sent your son Jesus at Christmas, and that he alone is the reason that we have hope and cause to celebrate. And please let us never forget that, and let us focus on that only this Christmas time. And remember that that alone is what will give us joy. We ask that in your Son's name. Amen.